Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug. Excuse me, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Are We Open, Are We Closed, Who Knows, with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, September 19th, 2021. And my guests today are Renan Hirschberg, Lori Kilmartin, and Troy Tate. Hello, everybody.
Good to be here.
Hello. Glad to be here, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, too.
What a polite group, all talking one at a time. That was like a scene out of the show Entourage. So let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with returning champ, Renan Hirschberg is back. Hello, Renan.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back so soon.
Where are you now?
I am in Astoria, cat sitting for my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I live in Brooklyn, but I'm a cat sitting in Astoria. But I'm also going to be moving to Astoria, so.
Oh, perfect. I guess
you can just say I'm in Astoria.
You can just get used to the neighborhood. Are you going to take this cat and make it your own when you move there?
I've already made it my own. But yeah, I'm going to take it with me and hope they don't notice. They probably won't. You know,
that's what happens. You have a cat sitter for too long, they'll imprint on the cat, and then you're just left out in the cold.
Yeah, no, she's imprinted. We're going to have that as good as it gets moment, you know, where the dog has to choose between Jack Nicholson and Greg Kinnear. But yeah, she's a cool cat. Yeah, so in Astoria, I'm still like, I'm finally getting used to the fact that that's Jeff Tate's brother. I really did think that was Jeff Tate playing a character. It's just the same rhythm. It's crazy.
Or is it?
Wait, I'm like 90% sure it's not, but there's still some uncertainty here.
That would be the weirdest prank for us to play, to just invent a brother of somebody and then just how that goes.
That's the whole character. Just a brother who sounds a little like him.
Especially like if it's played by the actual guy, that's a really bizarre... That's a weird trick to pull on people.
I guess I'm just not trusting.
Yeah, but thank you for being here and there, Renan, and also joining us. A constant breath of fresh air in the sewer that is Twitter. It's Lori Kilmartin. Hey, Lori.
Hi. I think some would say I am the sewer that is Twitter.
I guess so, if you're opposed to progress and just being nice.
I'm not nice, but I am trying to dial back my joy when an anti-vaxxer dies of COVID.
I mean, I got to say that it's nice to, that somebody out there is expressing, you know, how a lot of us feel, and also keeping it, you know, it's not a heavy read, your feed. It's just heavy news with a light touch.
Sure. I always try to spin death into something delightful. So,
yeah. And it's, I think it's working and I appreciate it. And, you know, and I just sit back and try not to reply guy to everything that I read because, you know what I mean? You want to, you just want to get in there. It's like dogs and, you know, chasing after things. Yeah. You just can't help yourself. Like I get, when I see replies on my tweets that I don't like, I'm just like, well, that person just could not help themselves.
True.
You know what I mean? It's too easy to just do. And, and it's such an impulse thing, you know?
Yeah. I think I did reply to somebody who didn't like something I said, and it turned into a wasteful back and forth. And neither of our minds were changed. So I could have left it alone. Every once in a while, I get pulled in.
I saw somebody that that suggested, you know, that you just, you know, post something that's going to get people in your comments arguing with each other and don't get involved at all. And then after it's up for a little while, you know, erase the entire thing.
Wow.
So that those people arguing will realize, hey, maybe it's not worth our time and trouble because our arguments could just vanish. But that seems a little cruel to do that on purpose. I think I just do it accidentally every day. But thank you for being here and or wherever you are. And in his second or third appearance on the show, it's really there's a huge debate about it's his third time. I believe him. It is, in fact, Jeff Tate's brother, Troy Tate. How's it going, man?
Excellent, Doug. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. As you said, I am, in fact, Jeff's brother. We've been seen in the same place on multiple occasions.
It's true. You were both on the show together once in
twice.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Twice.
There were people there. Oh, you were together at UCB also?
Yes.
Well, it's nice to have you flying solo, and it's also fun to think of your voice as being Jeff turned on the times two, just sped up a little bit.
Yeah, right. I'm the younger brother, so my voice is higher. That's how it works.
Yeah, and you've got a little bit more energy and lung capacity. Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly glad to be here not facing Jeff because I stand no chance of defeating him. So I got to like my chances today.
You like your chances are definitely better, but these are some strong competitors, I got to say.
Well, so
and also guesswork is going to play off for somebody, if you ask me. But before we get to the games portion of the show, let's visit Recommendation Nation. That's where each one of you recommends just one movie. And we'll start with returning champion Renan Hirschberg. What would you like to recommend today?
I'll recommend this movie, this Swedish movie called Borders. Have you seen that?
Ooh, I have not seen it. Tell me more.
It's a really insane movie. It's hard. I don't want to it's hard to explain it, but it's on Hulu and everyone I've recommended to either loved it or was legitimately mad at me for recommending it. So it's either way, it's open to dialogue.
But the anger is from is it violent?
It's not violent. It's kind of gross. It's about this woman who's deformed and she works as a security guard and she, but they don't explain why she's deformed. And then she meets another guy who's deformed in the same way. They both kind of look like dogs a little. It's very surreal. And then they start having a romance, but it's really brilliant. It all gets explained. It's the kind of thing where it seems really surreal, but then once you get the information, it's actually a very literal story. So it's just a really cool, it's a really great movie.
It's definitely called Borders, or is there a chance it's called Border?
There's a big, especially since you're correcting me, I think there's probably a big 100% chance it's just called Border.
Or Border Collie?
Yeah,
I think it was nominated for best foreign film a year or two ago.
It was,
I think it's called just Border, but I'll confirm that later and put the right title down.
Also, I just looked it up real quickly.
You cheater. You're already cheating.
No, I didn't look up that. I looked up the Troy Tate thing. Even though I was the only one suspicious, it is his brother.
The only witness to the two of them together is a third Tate brother. That's what disturbed me.
Oh, we don't talk about him.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Renan?
No, it was just,
what's it called? Right.
Border, you know, it's a real bicycle thieves type situation, but go either way. It's my nerdiest film joke, but so it's a great
movie. Hang on a second, can you back up, because I just this very day saw in print the words the bicycle thieves and thought, why doesn't it say bicycle thief? I've always thought it was bicycle thief. So you're telling me that it is a known thing that it has more than one title?
I believe I'll probably get fact checked by someone even more pretentious than me, but like, I believe it's bicycle thieves in Italian. It's plural.
Right.
Technically two bicycle thieves.
Right.
And then I think it got into the singular in the translation, just because
that's
more, you know, the bicycle thief. It feels like a more sexy American action movie.
Yeah. I buy all of this.
Yeah.
And we're going to call the movie just Border. All right. But it's on Hulu, and I really did intend to watch it, cuz I try to watch everything that gets nominated for an Oscar in every category. I succeeded last year.
It's so good, and it's so it's like a real, like, you're going to want to talk about it afterwards. It's a real, like, it's a real conversation starter.
Yeah, I heard good things, but you know, it also looks like a nap starter also.
No, it's not. It's honestly not. I know. I mean, that's the fear for every foreign film, but like, it's the opposite. It's so weird. The whole time you're like, what the fuck? It's like more disturbing and gross than boring.
Okay.
Which I think is all good, right? That's better than boring.
I don't know how I feel about gross. I don't intentionally do anything that's gross.
You're not going to fall asleep.
Yeah, okay.
But don't eat anything dirty.
Oh, you don't know how good I am at sleeping. I've been on too many long flights.
Well, you're going to have some fucked up dreams then.
You know, I'm so used to sleeping while there's motion. If there's an earthquake, that makes me go, and I go into a deeper sleep. It doesn't wake me up. It puts me into a deeper slumber.
You're going to need an earthquake to fall asleep eventually.
Yeah. All right. So the Border is Renan's recommendation. Lori Kilmartin, what would you like to recommend today?
I would like to recommend this movie I've watched a couple times over the years. It's called The White Ribbon. And I think it's directed by this Austrian guy. But it takes place in pre-World War I Germany. And it sort of explores small town life and extreme patriarchy and abuse. And it shows you how the seeds were planted for what Germany became in the 20s and then ultimately in the 40s.
The White Ribbon.
Yeah.
Also, subtitles?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
That answer was in subtitles.
Yeah. Does it have some? It's got subtitles?
Oh, yeah. It does have subtitles. Yeah. No, I forgot. You actually need to learn German to.
Yes. What a terrible recommendation, but at least you can also enjoy Mein Kampf without the
I do have an English speaking recommendation too, if you guys don't want to learn German.
Oh wait, that's not, Mein Kampf wasn't a movie, but was there a movie based on Mein Kampf? There was a documentary that Woody Allen was always talking about.
Saving Private Ryan, right?
Yes, that's it. The White Ribbon. All right. This sounds like it's really a roller coaster of recommendations so far. Like, people sit down and watch those two in one sitting might also want to do it on a day when they're, you know, when they're going to see their therapist. Well,
I don't trust any comedian that recommends a comedy. Like, every comedian I know watches just really depressing, dark stuff.
Yeah, and laughs at it. Like those are those are the comedies. Like my good friend Troy Gallion, he insists that movie The Lobster is hilarious, and I find a couple moments kind of amusing, but for the most part, it's horrifying.
I broke up with someone because they liked that movie, and I hated it so much.
I think did we talk about this before, Renan?
It's like my least favorite movie.
I love this because Troy and I, we seriously used to argue. The other Troy, we used to
talk about Trey.
I do this all the time with Trey and Troy. Those two names are interchangeable to me, and it's I apologize, but Troy and I, he thinks that movie is a laugh riot, and he even watched it once on a plane and was laughing the whole time.
Well, it's because he's a sociopath.
Yeah,
assuming.
That is, yeah, because he's like, I'm like, what's so funny about it? He's like, well, what happens to the dog is funny.
It's
I'm
animal like, cruelty. It's awful.
Get out of your mind.
I hate the cruelty to animals in it. Like, it's just
it's bad. Yeah. And the cruelty to John C. Reilly's hand.
And the cruelty to the audience. The cruelty to me watching it.
Yeah, it's an insane movie. I mean, I've grown to really appreciate Olivia Colman as an actress since that movie because I've seen her in so many things. Since then, and know who she is, and she's amazing in that movie, but only in making it creepier.
I just like movies with like humanity, and that movie is like anti-humanism. It's just like everyone talks monotone, and like it's just about ideas. I don't know. I hate that kind of movie so much.
Well, it's already not about humans when your lead is Colin Farrell.
That's true. By the way, Trey has to give the most lowbrow answer now to offset this. His recommendation has to be Joe Dirt just to offset.
Yeah, now I've messed you up because
I'm Troy.
It's Troy.
Oh, shit, I'm Troy. Troy.
I like though. It's not. It kind of feels good to me that someone named Renan is having trouble with some white guy's name.
Is it Troy or Trey? Yeah. How do you pronounce it?
It's cool. I'll answer to either one. It's cool. No,
I'm fine. I'm still calling you Jeff. I hope that's okay.
Yeah,
I'll answer Jeff. That. That'll work too.
Jeff, Trey, Troy. What is your recommendation?
I'm going to recommend the funniest movie I've ever seen. It's called The Lobster.
Oh, I'm breaking up with you now.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm going to really get this roller coaster moving and recommend a movie called Maximum Risk. I just watched this one a few days ago. I love a movie that forces the viewer to really shift their perspective and see the world through someone else's eyes. But I also love a movie that stars Jean-Claude Van Damme. And this one is The Ladder. And boy, oh boy. This one is peak Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's so much broken glass in this film. People's faces and entire bodies are flying through windows the whole time. There's a few interesting elevator scenes. I think it was a really interesting directorial choice made by the filmmaker. Like fun elevators. There are like three different ones show up in the movie. One's a freight elevator. One's the kind that you can like see out of. And Jean-Claude Van Damme fights a giant Russian guy while wearing a towel. They're both wearing towels in a bathhouse, and that's all they have on. And neither of them lose their towel.
Wow, where can I find this?
Yeah, you can watch it on Netflix. Also, no spoiler, Jean-Claude Van Damme dies immediately in the first scene, okay? But it's not a spoiler. because it turns out he has a twin brother that he never knew about.
Oh,
that sounds like just two spoilers,
right? I mean, but it all happens right away. So neither of them are spoilers. And
But the movie's called Maximum Risk, not Dead Twin. Like, okay. I still feel like that's a spoiler officially.
For sure.
If you Google this movie at all, the first line in the description says he dies right away.
Well, that's why I don't read reviews or Google things.
It's not a spoiler, Doug. Trust me, okay? The part about the broken glass was more of a spoiler, all right?
That's true. That did give away that a lot of glass is in danger throughout the film.
Did people have the appropriate amount of cuts that one gets from broken glass, or bounce back pretty quick?
They get all bloodied up. It's
It's rated R.
It's great. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's rated R.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's got to be. If you see if there's blood, you know, that's the bloodless fighting that gets the PG-13.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And in English the entire time, okay? No reading required. So there's
well, then,
not.
Well, then I will not be watching it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we've got a real battle of the esoteric versus Jean-Claude Van Damme. Where does this one rank, Troy, in the history of Van Damme movies? Because clearly you're a fan. You're a Van Damme.
I mean, it's no Hard Target. It's definitely no Time Cop, but it's up there.
It's up there with those. Okay.
Yeah, it's I would put it in the upper echelon of the Van Damme movies.
I mean, this is probably a huge Van Damme spoiler, but I'm going to ask anyway. What two objects does he use in this film to do the splits? What two things are his feet on when he's doing the splits?
He does no splits in this movie.
What?
I know. Yeah, it's inexplicable.
He was taking a maximum artistic risk.
So that's a big spoiler too. Okay.
Yeah.
I know everybody's waiting for it the whole time, but it never happens.
I can't believe that he didn't do it. Maybe there's like, you sure there's not like outtakes over the end credits?
There is nothing over the end credits, but I wasn't watching the director's cut, so there might be all kinds of splits in there.
It'd be funny if just you saw Jean-Claude Van Damme where he never did that, but then at the end of the movie, instead of outtakes, they just play him in every situation he was in the movie doing it just for the, you know, the real
just in case.
Yeah, just to have
it. Let's get one split shot while we got the camera rolling.
Yeah.
And then he watches a movie and he's so upset that none of them made it in. He's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, let's just do a reel of all of them at the end and send everybody home happy. That's what I used to love about, you know, Jackie Chan movies is how every time he got injured, they'd show the injury, you know, how it happened and, you know, putting him into an ambulance, the whole thing, they'd show it in the, you know, the end credits. So you, every injury and every mistake they put in the end credits, you see how terribly he treated himself. I can't believe that guy is still alive. He's crazy. Those are great recommendations. It's going to be a real good battle between these three on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter account. And we're going to begin playing some games with these terrific guests right after this break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back. And while we were in the break, Jean-Claude Van Damme put one foot on a stack of books and the other on a Chrysler and did the splits. This is just Tim around the house.
Is that what he's famous for?
Having a lazy set.
Is he famous for the splits, really?
I think he's done it like in four of his movies. He didn't do it in Time Cop, I don't think.
No,
don't
Time Cop. Time Cop is the iconic one.
Oh, that's the best one?
Yeah, he jumps on the floor is electrified and he has to jump on the kitchen counter.
That's the kitchen counter.
Yeah.
And, wasn't he always wearing like hammer pants too while he was doing the splits? Was that a thing?
He's got to have pretty loose pants. He's definitely got if not hammer pants, he's got something where it's been, you know, let out a little bit in the crotch.
Some breathing room in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't be splitting your pants every time you do that. You know, he's on his way to a fancy meal or something. You can't have a big crotch split. But all right. Well, Troy, if I ever do need an expert on Jean-Claude Van Damme, I'm coming to you because you just really seem to know your stuff.
I'm the guy.
Yeah, you're the man. But for now, we're going to play a game that I call ABCD's Nuts. This game, it's easy and peasy. I name a letter. You name a movie that begins with that letter, and you stay in the game. It's that simple. You'll even know which letter we're about to go to next because we're going to spell in honor of Moon Tower Comedy Festival starting on Wednesday, which I'm going to be doing Doug Loves Movies at Antone's in downtown Austin, Texas this Wednesday night, September 22nd. But if you match me and name the movie that I wrote down ahead of time, based on a theme that you might figure out as we go, then you win the game automatically. It's confusing when I say it all fast like that, but it should come together. So we're spelling Moon Tower. So the first letter's M, and we'll go alphabetically and with our champion, Renan Hirschberg. Name any movie that begins with M.
I'll just go with the movie M, which is the letter M.
There is a movie just called that?
Yeah, the Fritz Lang old movie.
Yeah. Super old.
Yeah, but it's
very, very old.
Killer. He turns out to be, no spoiler, but he turns out to be
a
serial killer at the end.
All right. Well, that's I like you keeping it, keeping it real film school.
Yeah, I'm pretentious today, so I'm just got to lean in. Nah, at this point,
hey, Battleship Pretension. That's the name of a troop that makes fun of movies, I think. Okay, so I went with a motion picture just coincidentally. It's not the theme, it's not all movies that I'm in, but it is a movie that I do happen to appear in called Mr. Roosevelt. Mm. That's my M. So the next letter, Moon Tower, is O. So we move to Lori, just name any movie that begins with O, especially if you think it fits a theme with the movie called Mr. Roosevelt.
On Golden Pond, because Henry Fonda was alive during FDR's term.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. That's not what I put down. I picked a movie called Office Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Mr. Roosevelt, Office Space, and the next O goes to Troy Tate. Why did you get the like alliteration with the Troy Tate and then Jeff Tate? Why didn't they name him like Tommy Tate or Timmy Tate?
Nate Tate.
Our first names were our parents admitted at one point they just winged it. And so Jeff, they got from some local television host where we were born, and Troy came from the neighbor kid who lived across the street. So nobody put that much thought into either of our names.
Were the neighbors mad when your parents came home with a second Troy for the block?
I don't think they knew. I never met them, so I don't know. But they
It never became like a thing where in the neighborhood they had to have old Troy and young Troy.
Yeah, no. We moved way too much for that, but they totally did bite their style. And you're right, Lori. They should have been mad.
I like the idea of, I like the idea of naming your children after someone you don't really know, like just an acquaintance. Like I just named him after my mailman, you know. I like not going with, you know, parents or grandparents.
Why'd you name your kid Mailman? Well, I named him after
I wanted to name him my mailman, but I didn't know his name. I didn't decide just mailman.
All right, so Troy, I'm sorry I interrupted you with all that name talk, but what's for the next O, what would you go with?
All right, I'm gonna stick with the theme and go with Office Christmas Party.
Oh, am I that is a, that is so close, so very close, because I got to be honest with you here. I couldn't think at this time. I couldn't think of another O movie that fit the theme I wanted to do. So I just wrote Office Space again.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. Yeah, I just couldn't think of any other O's, but that was a good guess. N is the next letter back to Ronan.
And so it's a theme between Office Space and Office Space and Mr. Roosevelt. That's a movie about
that's FDR. The theme so far. What's okay. that?
Is that a movie
it's
about
It's not FDR? About, no, it's not about FDR. It's about the cat named Mr. Roosevelt. And the tradition of how Troy describes Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, it's about the cat dies at the beginning of the movie.
Ah,
and then it's about things that the complications of sharing a dead cat.
There's a twin cat, or is that a spoiler?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, people could have gone to the movie not even knowing that Mr. Roosevelt's a cat, but I've ruined it. Mm.
Okay, well, I don't really, so I'll just guess. Maybe I don't really know the theme for those two, but let's see. Notorious, yeah, the Hitchcock.
No. I mean, yes, that is a movie. So you're still in the game. But the what I wrote down is a movie called Nadine.
Mm-hmm. Starring Wait, what's that?
Kim Basinger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it set in an office? Give me a...
What's that?
Is it set in an office?
Nadine in an office? I don't think so. I think Nadine's okay. like a, you know, a violent love triangle situation or an abused wife or something.
Ah.
I think it's based on the song Jolene. T is the next letter for Lori.
Wow.
This really opens it up because every movie that begins with the is a T movie.
I'm torn between The Piano, a Jane Campion film from 1993, and the Hunt for Red October.
You're on to the theme for sure.
I'm going to go with The Piano.
Okay. I picked a movie called Thunder Road, written and directed by a former guest on the show, Jim Cummings.
Wow.
Next letter is to Troy, and it's the letter O.
Again? Right,
yeah, well, there's three O's in Moontown.
I'd be stupid not to say Office Space here. So we're going to say that.
See, that's the problem, is by this point, I did think of a movie.
I mean, it's only two letters later, Doug.
I thought of it when I was...
How fast does your mind work?
It took me a while, and then I realized that another movie that fits the theme is called Outlaw Blues. Mm. It was from 1977, starred Peter Fonda. Mm. Who he passed away a year or two ago, I think. So now where are we at? Oh, W. Oh, this is an exciting one, because if you figure out the theme, you have a real good chance of getting this, because I've written down two titles for W. So it's a special double bonus. Who's up next? Renan?
I think it's me, but I have no idea what the theme is from this stuff. So I guess I'm just going to say Watership Down.
How did you figure out the theme was Dead Rabbits?
Is that what it is?
Every one of these movies. No. The theme's not that specific. I went with, you could have said Whip It, the roller derby movie directed by Drew Barrymore, or Waking Life, which is one of those... animated you know, what do they call it? Rotoscoping of, you know, they film the actors first and then they animate it. And Waking Life is what that was called. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which was okay. I think I know the theme now. I think
you might, but it's what good is that going to do you? Because you're really got two letters left.
A little too late.
E's the next letter for Lori. What do you think it is, Lori?
Coming up with a theme is so it's so much higher above what I'm capable of right now, which is just remembering the names of movies. I can't reach the moon and try to come up with a theme. So E, I would pick Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say E.T. as long as you were heading to the moon. But but yeah, Edward Scissorhands is a good one. I went with Renan. Do you think you know what I went with?
For E?
It's also a Richard Linklater movie, and it's called Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, yeah.
With two exclamation points. That's like the official title, really? Like the nerve.
He demanded two?
Somebody did.
That's insane.
But, I mean, I always find one hilarious, like that movie Mother is right. So funny that it has an exclamation point.
But what is two? But, is that like, everybody wants some? Is it like,
yeah,
like higher level?
I thought
meltdown?
It was a gentler movie than that. I didn't know it was that aggressive.
Oh man,
they're a bunch of baseball players. So that's kind of where I checked out on that.
Also, such a calm, understated director. He is not the director you think would demand an exclamation mark.
Yeah, School of Rock didn't have one.
Yeah,
a studio lacking confidence in the movie, so they really want to, you know, they really give it everything they can.
But it just seems so half-assed because if you really, you know, in life, if you go one exclamation point or three, you know, when do you ever do two?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Three or one. What's two? Two is like you're trying to be excited, but then halfway through, you don't give a shit. Like you give up in the middle of being excited.
Yeah.
You need to either be three or one, you know?
No good.
Yeah.
All right. We're down to the last letter. And Troy gets to be the hero or the zero.
Wait. Those are my only options?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's either going to prove that you're great or that you stink.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'm onto the theme, but I got nothing. But all right.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's impossible.
I'm going to say Run, Ronnie, Run, just for the alliterative nature of it. Every word of the title begins with R, so I'm happy with my answer.
Okay. That's I'm glad you're satisfied. And I went with a motion picture called Redheaded Stranger that starred Willie Nelson and was filmed, as all of these were, at least partially, but mostly completely, in Austin, Texas.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. All Austin, Texas movies.
I realized but also realized I didn't know which movies were filmed in Austin. Yeah.
I was hoping Office Space would come up again. That's what once you know it,
once you know it, it doesn't really help that much.
Yeah, it's a tough theme as it is and a tough game, but it's always fun when somebody does match. So thank you everybody for trying. And I'm going to designate, you didn't officially win that game, Renan, but you are going to go first in our next game because we'll just keep the alphabetical order thing going. And don't forget, everybody, Doug Loves Movies is at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival starting Wednesday night, September 22nd. And then there's another one on Saturday afternoon, the 25th at 4:20. And we'll play our next game right after this break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back, and I get giggly when I play this game because there's a TV show that I enjoy a great deal called Family Feud, and I have stolen their format for a game that I call Filmily Feud. It's like Family Feud, but you each play for yourselves. You don't have your family. And it's also multiple choice. You just have to pick the answer that got the highest percentage in my Twitter poll. Renan's going to go first. Okay. And we're going to do a 3 rounds. So each of you will get a chance to go first. And if there's a tiebreaker, then the person who went first the first time will get to go first. That's too much. I didn't need to say that. Cross that bridge when we get to it.
I like all right. Rules.
Yeah. all the rules in advance. Radon, then if after he picks one, then Lori gets to pick one, and then Troy gets to pick. Here we go. Who? Now, this is according to, I just did a poll on Twitter. Mm-hmm. People responded. I don't know their motivations. Okay. I don't know these people.
Okay.
I said, who has the best hairpiece in show business? And then their options were Tom Cruise, Zac Efron, Jason Momoa, or Brad Pitt. Well, I listed 4 people that are famously known for pretty much having their own hair.
I go with Jason Momoa.
You're going Momoa?
I'm going Momoa.
Okay. So that leaves for Lori, that leaves Cruz, Efron, or Pitt.
Oh.
None of them have quite as long a hair as Jason Momoa.
Well, I would say because he has long hair, he's like trying too hard to make it seem like it's his. Where Tom Cruise, I'm going to say Tom Cruise. I'm going to say, I bet he's been bald since Risky Business.
Oh, you think it's fake hair?
Yeah, I bet that's what you meant by hairpiece.
Oh, you said best hairpiece? Oh, fuck. I didn't even miss that part. I thought you just said best hair.
My answer's the same.
But
whose fake hair is so great that it's fooling everybody except for the people that answered these names in this poll?
I would never have guessed Momoa. No one has a long hairpiece. That's just a
Renan
wig.
Renan was voting for senior superlatives.
Fuck. I thought you said good hair. I missed a piece part.
All right. Well, if there's, whatever answer's left over at the end here, okay, you can trade Momoa for that if you
that's
want
fair.
To.
That's fair.
All right. So, but Lori grabbed up Tom Cruise, and then Troy, between Zac Efron and Brad Pitt, which one do you want?
Well, Lori took my answer. So between these two, I'm going to have to go with Zac Efron.
All right. Now,
hair is too
Renan,
natural.
Would you like to switch to Brad Pitt or stick with Jason Momoa?
Well, they're both, I think, going to be wrong, but I think Brad Pitt is less wrong. So I guess
you switched to Brad Pitt.
Between the lesser of two evils, I choose Brad Pitt. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. The person with the least amount of votes, 18% of the votes, which is worth 18 points, is Brad Pitt. You only get 18 points for that.
I went most wrong. Fuck,
most wrong.
Yeah, you went in the wrong direction, unfortunately. Then coming in at 19%, with 19%, is Zac Efron. So, Trey, you have 19 points. You're scant 1 point ahead of Renan. And then with a whopping 38%, Lori gets 38 points for Tom Cruise.
Wow. I wish you guys could see my arms raised right now.
You're so excited. And Jason Momoa managed to get more than Zach or Brad. He has 25%.
Wow.
So he's really been fooling everybody because he's had that long hair from the second I first ever heard of him.
That is the way to have a convincing hairpiece by, you know,
just have it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Long hair guys get away with it. They just put a little extra up front.
Like, what if Howard Stern was, it was all just fake hair?
Yeah.
Oh, so my lawyers tell me I have to say this. That last game was all alleged. They all allegedly have great hair pieces.
You know, Momoa is married to Lisa Bonet, and she's been in the business since she was a little girl. So I feel like she coached him early on. Like, she saw the bald spot and was like, let's get this fixed immediately before you even get famous.
Yeah. And she's got great hair too. So she her hair. He's probably just got her extensions in his head.
The family hair. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, the you know, people with their opinions, they all people vote. It cracks me up that people picked between all those guys that I think all have their real hair, but who knows? So, like I said, Lori's in the lead, but anything could happen in round two. But Lori gets to go first in round two.
Wow.
Then we'll go to Troy and then Renan. Lori, I asked very similar. Another question about these male actors. I said, in your opinion, who is the tallest? Now, these people could have gone and looked up the correct answer and came back and chose that. But I want to know, in their opinion, who is the tallest? And the options are, again, Tom Cruise. This time, Tom is joined by Vin Diesel, Danny DeVito, and Pete Dinklage.
Oh, all right. I'm going to leave Pete and Danny to the other guys if they want to go with those two. So it's really down to Vin Diesel and Tom Cruise. And I'm going to say Vin Diesel because I don't think he's over 5'10", but I think he's definitely over 5'6".
Okay. All right. Interesting. What do you think, Troy?
My opinion of the remaining three, my impression is Tom Cruise is the tallest, so I will take him. Okay.
I like it. I like a logical player.
That was a long pause for something where the other two options were the shortest people on the planet.
I thought maybe he was conferring with Jeff. You know, is Jeff there feeding you answers?
No, he exited the room.
Does he ever feed you? Have you ever broke both your arms?
He has fed me before, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Never answers.
Renan.
Man, it's really, really sucks to go last on this one. I guess, I mean, between the lesser of two evils here is, I mean, I think Danny DeVito is probably like a giant compared to Pete, I assume. So I'm going to go with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, you're going DeVito. That's interesting. Yeah.
Dinklage. Wait, I can't pick the other options, right? I have to pick the leftovers, right?
Yeah. You're going to go first on this, or you went first the first round.
I'm not saying they're leftovers. They're great, but I'm not.
But you did say that.
Don't cancel me. even though I
you never know.
You made the best choice with what you had left.
Yes.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to luck into with these games because I try to, I try to keep things tricky. And this one certainly did turn out rather weird.
If Dinklage is the tallest, I'll be very shocked. In fact,
I will demand a refund.
I would say he's done some real false advertising.
Wedding.
Well, I don't know if any. Amazing. I don't know if any of you saw Avengers Endgame.
Oh yeah, where he's a giant. Yeah,
but he does play a giant in that film. Mm. So people could be confused.
That's true.
Yeah,
he has a lot.
They're
of
definitely confused. People are definitely confused because coming in with 10% of the vote in who is the tallest is Tom Cruise.
Ouch! What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. He's 5'7" in reality, but in our poll, not very tall.
Shorter than Peter Dinklage.
Yeah,
that's the reality we live in right now.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. What happens when you try to compare yourself to an acting giant.
Wrong information has really destroyed this country. And
in my opinion, Peter Dinklage is taller. Everyone's opinion is valid.
This is why no one takes the vaccine. We have no...
Look, you did your research. And
yeah. Right. Oh, some people refuse to answer the poll because they want to do more research. They're going to get back to me. They're going to get back to me if they're still alive in a few years. All right. So that means that Troy got 10 points for that one. Woo-hoo. And then next in line is... Peter Dinklage got 20% of the vote. And then Danny DeVito got 27%. So Radon gets 27 points. And but hell no, Vin Diesel, he won the poll with 43% of reasonable people who figured out that he probably is the tallest one.
Oh, man. The rich get richer over here, right?
Yeah. So Lori is really running away with this thing. So good luck, fellas, on this last round. We got one round left. And we're going to start with Troy.
Good. Finally.
I asked Twitter. I thought of four actresses. And I asked Twitter, who makes the best Bloody Mary? Is it Nicole Kidman, Regina Hall, Regina King, or Melissa McCarthy?
Ooh, this is a good question. I love Bloody Marys.
A lot more subjective than the last one.
I love making them too. Nicole Kidman, Regina Hall, Regina King.
Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy are my choices. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Melissa McCarthy.
You think she makes the best one?
I would take her Bloody Mary sight unseen any day of the week.
Oh, wow.
I don't care if it's brunch time or not. I'm having a Bloody mixed by Melissa McCarthy.
Well, three of these actresses are in this show, Nine Perfect Strangers, I've been watching on whatever service it's on.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Hulu, I think. And then the other Regina's director of... One Night in Miami, and also a great actress. What do you think, Renan?
I guess I'll go with, I mean, Nicole Kidman doesn't seem like she'd make Bloody Mary. She seems more of like a mimosa type, you know? I guess I'm really thinking a lot about this. It's Regina Hall and Regina King?
Yeah.
I don't know who Regina Hall is, so I guess she's out because I don't know who that is. So I guess I'll go with Regina King.
Okay. Interesting. And Lori, that leaves you either Nicole Kidman or Regina Hall.
You know, I think before Kidman hooked up with Keith Urban, who's now sober, she probably... made a good Bloody Mary. So I guess I'm going to have to go with Regina Hall.
Find your instincts on this one.
Man, you're really sabotaging here.
All right. This is going to be really close. This is exciting. Let's see here. Okay, 70 something. All right. Well, we got a clear winner, but it was, it seemed like it was going to be close because there's math involved. But you got a whopping 39% for Melissa McCarthy, Troy. So nice comeback. Oh,
she was the winner? Okay.
She came up with the most. She would make the best Bloody Mary, according to
Her garnish would be out of this world. That's really the focal point of a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I just think she's always terrific, and but then next in line, maybe because she's a director, she like knows how to put things, you know, take all the ingredients and put them together.
That's what
but Regina King got 32%.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Again, Renan, nice last minute, you know, comeback, because Laura, you picked the person who only got 9% of the vote, and Nicole got 20%.
Well, those people are wrong. Definitely, right? Definitely Hall over Kidman. And I was going to pick Regina King, but Renan stole her from me. So
I stole it.
You know what? Even though I got last on this one, I stand behind my thoughts.
Right. And also, that was all you needed to do to secure the win. You are the winner today. Congratulations.
Wow. Thank
Where's
you.
Where's my fun whistle? Here it is. You did it. You get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug, Lori?
Oh, I have an album coming out at the end of October called Corset, and I recorded it in November of 2019. There's no mention of COVID on the album. And there's a huge chunk about me hoping my mom dies, and she ultimately did of COVID. So you can listen to me possibly forecasting or foreshadowing the events of 2020.
Yeah, it's probably a very interesting listen at this time.
Maybe.
And hilarious too, we should say. It's got jokes.
It does, but you know, when you record an album, by the time you record it, you hate every joke that you that's on it, because you took a long time to perfect it. So that's where I was and am now, and so I just hope people like it more than I do.
And you hope that people don't shout out for bits from it in your future shows.
No,
you're moving on.
Shout out the punchline when they shout for jokes, like they shout out.
Oh yeah,
so they ruin
absolutely.
It.
They always say the part that like is just gives the whole thing away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're perfectly constructed castle. They just like they just pull the bricks out from the bottom.
Yep.
Renan Hirschberg, another great appearance. Thank you for being here. What's your
thank you
what's
for
your plug
me.
Today? What would you like to
plug? I want to real quickly plug Lori, because I'm at Cat Sitting and her book is on the shelf right here. Dead People Don't Suck. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, great Jeez. Book. Check it out. I have the only other movie podcast besides Doug's called Joe and Ron on Talk Movies with Joe List. You can subscribe to that. And I also have a special I'm going to be coming out this fall. I also don't have COVID jokes, but only because I don't write new material. no, I'll have some COVID jokes, but it's going to come out this fall. But subscribe to YouTube. I haven't filmed it yet, so it's probably presumptuous to say a date. But subscribe to my YouTube channel. So like people watch it. So it's R-A-A-N-A-N, last name Hirschberg, my YouTube channel.
Right on. And Troy Tate, I hate to bring this up because Renan just said he's got the only other movie podcast.
Oh, but, surprise, 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 Renan. There's a third podcast about movies.
Uh-oh.
I co-host one with my brother Jeff, who is real. And our other brother from another mother, Trey Gallion, who does not have the same name as me.
Right.
It's called
Trey and Troy.
It's called Rough Drafts. We do fantasy style drafts of movies every week. New episodes every Sunday. Follow us at Rough Drafts Cast on Twitter. and vote for who you think drafted the best team every week.
I think that Jeff and Trey should switch names, trade names, because then it'll be Trey and Troy Tate and Jeff Galleon.
It's already confusing enough, Doug.
And it's called Rough Drafts, though, is the name of it, right?
Rough Drafts, yeah. We talk all about movies. We were the second movie podcast.
And
yours is the third. Congratulations on being the third.
What happened? How did that happen? Well, the original movie podcast, Doug Loves Movies, is coming to Miami at the Improv in Doral on Saturday, December 18th at 4:20. Lots of Doug Loves Movies tapings and stand-up shows that hopefully won't be canceled or postponed can be found at douglovesmovies.com. Lori Kilmartin, since you won today, would you be interested in, you don't have to answer right now, but you have the option of appearing again with us as returning champion on the next Zoom show after I get back from Moon Tower, which we record, I think, like 2 weeks from today. So that in mind.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll, we will have you back. And at the end of every episode, I should just say one more time, thank you to Troy Tate and Renan Hirschberg and Lori Kilmartin. And I do a closing line from a different movie. A lot of times it's classic movies, but this one, nobody is ever going to figure out what it is. So I'm just going to say it's from a movie called September Affair from 1950. As always, passengers for flight 201 for Rio de Janeiro and Buenos Aires will please go aboard.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.